So the Gavi work, CAVI, the CAVI work, Kenya AIDS vaccine initiative. how long did it for?
4 years.
For 4 years.
So the maximum I've given any employer is 4 years.
So it's like a institution. It's like high school, university.
Yeah. I did my
which
4 years.
Which is fair. It's good. I mean, it's a good relationship to have a time period for. So that 4 years, you've done that. You've done quite a bit in terms of pioneering, even in that particular space. How does it then morph into the next thing?
Yeah, so I felt I'd reached the glass ceiling, mm-hmm. and the only way of breaking it was if my boss died.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My boss is still alive right now.
Yeah.
So I just felt I had given my part,
yeah.
and I needed to move to something else.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think that's why I kept on saying, I don't think I know how to describe myself in a box,
because
I can do anything. Even now, I can go into farming and still thrive in it. In terms of, for me, it's about social impact. So did that. Was approached by a friend who was in the pharma side, a doctor also. Again, I think he was the only doctor at that time. So he told me this pharma was recruiting if I was interested, and you know, for us pharma that time. It was more for pharmacists than medical doctors. So I didn't even know what I was getting into, but I knew I needed to get out of this other side. So I remember Skype had just come in, and we did the interview on Skype.
What
I was in my bed.
This?
It's 209.
209. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And they were asking, you know, medical school teaches you to answer things confidently, even if you don't know what you're saying. So I remember doing this interview very confidently, but saying wrong things because I didn't know the answer to a couple of things that were in the pharma lingo. So I didn't get that job. And he told me, you know, you need to have prepared. First of all, your CV is very skewed towards the research side. So you need to bring that out. So he helped me because another opportunity came shortly after. I think most farmers are now starting to establish their operations from here, and medical affairs especially. So I got, this time now I was better prepared, and I got into GlaxoSmithKline.
Right.
Yeah, as a medical advisor, the first medical doctor. I know Githinji has been there, but he was in the marketing side. So I still say I claim the first medical doctor for the...
At GSK.
In the medical affairs team, yeah. Yeah, so that's how I got into GlaxoSmithKline. And again, also learning curve, because now all this is now pharma. But a lot of training, those guys really invest in the training. They invest in public speaking. They invest in media relations, because pharma is always in the media for one wrong thing or another.
Right.
And they invest in research and development.
Right.
So I really enjoy it because, again, it's teaching me things that are beyond medicine. And then there's the traveling, there's the idea. I think for me, I thrive in an environment where I'm coming to create something, especially if there's chaos or if it's a new thing. So for me, it was, again, the research space was a new thing. Pharma was a new thing because they were getting doctors on board. Yeah, so I really enjoyed. I was there for 3.5 years.
Yeah, oh, that's...
For me it was significant. And then I moved to a bigger, another Bayer. So Bayer, they wanted, now they gave me a bigger role.
Yeah.
Against setting up structures for them.
Yeah. Bayer is also
Bayer Healthcare.
Healthcare,
Bayer,
right.
Bayer known more for women's health products. But also, I've forgotten their products. There's some simple products that are over the counter. So I went and set up again the structures for Bayer.
You also moved there as medical advisor?
No, there I was now medical director.
Medical director.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And overseeing more countries. I think 36 countries.
Mm-hmm.
Here I was seeing, I think three or four, East Africa. This one was East Africa, that one was Sub-Saharan Africa. Yeah, so that's how I moved to Bear, doing similar thing, but now at a bigger scale and also setting up, they had a leaner team than this side. Yeah.
How was this period of being medical, advising around medical in pharma?
Medical affairs,
yeah.
It was very, you know,
in both organizations, yeah.
I like that you had to interact and you had to compete, because now it's it's for profit. Remember, I've moved from research,
yeah,
which is non-profit. So for profit, so your product, you have to support the commercial team to position products, but without you selling.
Both now at GSK.
Yes, it's the same role.
It's the same role for all
farmers, because they're guided by a certain code of conduct. So you need to know the science.
Yeah.
Because now you go and discuss with your peers, who are the prescribers, the science.
Yeah.
Then the sales team comes and closes. But if the product is not registered, it's only the medical staff who could talk about it. And you only talk about it using the generic name and also the science only. You don't do the marketing pitch because it's not registered. It was against the code to market something, even if you're anticipating to register it.
Yeah.
So I think that was interesting, competing. I remember at GSK, I got a general manager's award for the first time for a non-sales person to get.
All right.
Because of the role I played in with the vaccines team in positioning pneumonia vaccine in Kenya and in Ethiopia.
Right.
And also rotavirus vaccine, the new vaccines. And you know, you had to compete with the other pharma.
The rest, yeah.
Yeah, so it means working with government, working with the pediatricians, working with, just to show value for working with WHO when it was now adopted, because it was a second injection. Before, children only getting one injection. So now you have to train the workers into knowing which injection goes to which arm. And it was up to you, the farmer, to develop those materials at your cost, to train and to monitor side effects.
Before the sales?
No, this is now, the sales happens at UNICEF level. Because it's a national program.
That was a big opportunity.
Yes. Yeah. So you can imagine Ethiopia, where there are 80 million plus, so how many children are those? I think there are 1 million per year or more.
Yeah.
As kids were in the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
Either that or I've swapped the numbers. But anyway, Ethiopia was a bigger market.
There were more,
So getting those vaccines, and you know, each child gets 3 doses. So it's 3 doses times the number of children born per year. Then for 2 countries. So those are big sales.
That was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those conversations at now policy level, because now you had to change the training programs, you had to change attitude, you had to do educational materials for the public.
Yes.
Because now people start saying, even one injection, there were really people, some people fear injections and their children getting injections. Then you're telling them they're getting a second injection.
Yeah.
So you have to tell them why. Why do they have to get a second injection?
Yeah.
When the rotavirus came, why do they have this? So those are now vaccine related public health.
Yeah.
We had a couple of deaths also, and those now also needed to be managed.
The PR around that.
Yes, and that was managed by the medical affairs also. Or maybe swelling, side effects. So side effects was part of our work.
So your office was constantly
Yes, you had busy. To be alert. You had to be alert.
Yeah.
And then social media had just come, I think. And so you have to monitor also social media, because you're not allowed to respond to anything on social media if you're not the spokesperson. And the spokespeople used to be either the managing director or the medical affairs boss.
So for both organizations?
For both. It's the same role.
Yeah.
It's just different.
What one or two experiences across both do you remember that stand out, like, you know, that are very memorable for you?
I think for me, it's the different cultures. Because GSK is British. And the British way, and then it was very black. Like, we hardly had any white Caucasian person in the country office. And so there's a certain way and freedom in which they gave you to execute certain roles. And then Bear was German. And German are into, you know, made in Germany means the process has 1 + 1 should go to 2 and 2 should go to 3.
Right.
And I struggled a lot with that because it was a very different culture. And I didn't even last long. I was there 1.5 years, but not because of the culture, because something else happened. So I think the two cultures were totally different. GSK, we had lots of fun. The MD at that time was such an open office kind of person. We had a bar in the office for Fridays. And then we had this thing of people going out. And when you go out, the oldest in terms of rank picks the tab. Yeah, so there's a lot of freedom. Now the freedoms, I think, have been curtailed because there's a lot of also cost-cutting, but also the codes have become, compliance has become tighter. We're also in charge of compliance as medical affairs. So there were certain lines marketing were not supposed to cross or sales were not supposed to cross because it would be seen as inciting is negative. Influencing. Yeah, right. Prescription.
Yes.
Not to be based on science, but on what you're going to give them.
I see.
And there's a lot of that happens, especially with generic companies who don't subscribe. So for most of these bigger farmers, they subscribe to European codes of practice or American codes of practice. And those are very stringent. Like if something happened in Kenya, they'd be fined in the home country. And they're fined in the time to pounds. So you had to, it was a sort of an even playing field because these other guys, I mean, I've seen doctors taken for holidays with their families, you know, or you get your subscription of Netflix paid for SuperSport or whatever it is. And you see that does not have anything to do with science. So those are behaviors considered to be enticing. Others even have 3 prescription leaves.
Wow.
So one to the patient, one you keep, one stays in the pharmacy, and the other one the med rep comes to pick. Then they pay you according to the number of prescriptions.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's a lot of that happening.
Wow.